Broadcasting from the most hated nation on the face of the planet with all the news they hope you never hear. This is the Power Hour. All right, folks, if there ever was a situation where we're passing out the brain brushes and everybody taking them, sticking them in your ears, scrub vigorously. The prop agenda is on the wane. We're going to get it out there one way or the other. And all you folks out there that are all upset, well, go ahead. Get upset. You got good reason to be a little twisted today. And you're going to have more of a reason after you hear the following 2 hours. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. Get ready, folks. Here we go. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Take a deep breath. Feels good. All right, this is Dave.
And Joyce, and freedom feels good,
oh,
doesn't it?
Oh, man, yeah. Even on a cold winter day, the warmth of the sun feels good. All right.
It's only 40 degrees here.
I'm hot.
I know.
I am cooking right now. Well, I am cooking.
I think you're all going to want to get a tape in this next hour. And when you hear what these people have to say, you're going to begin to question if you still believe the conventional 9/11, the bad boys did it with box cutter story. Now, if you believe that, well, we know we always ask you to be at the front of the line to call in and say that you don't believe that. And we've never had one person call in and say they believe the conventional story. That's because the educated people don't believe the conventional story.
And our numbers are growing.
Yes.
People are becoming educated, and they are realizing now that this, and you know, there, like I explained before, there are folks that subscribe to the lie hop theory, that means let it happen, and the others that subscribe to the my hop, which is made it happen.
You know, I have to tell you something.
What?
I've never been impressed with that argument.
Well, whether you're, nobody cares whether you're impressed or not, but the point is, I'm just saying it's an argument that is there, Joyce. I mean, whether you're impressed or not.
I mean, lie hop. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do people understand what lie hop versus my hop means?
Well, yeah, there are folks, you know, that say that, well, the terrorists did it and the government had information that it was going to happen, but they didn't do anything to stop it. So, in essence, they let it happen. Now, the other school of thought is that, yeah, the terrorists were set up as patsies, and this entire thing was an elaborate, diabolical scheme that was funk up by rogue elements within our country, whether mm-hmm. they be governmental or private or what have you. The bottom line is that the MIHOP folks are saying, hey, look at the terrorists weren't the ones that were behind this whole thing. Some guy in a cave with a laptop computer like Osama couldn't have pulled this off.
Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you this. Remember the Brigades of Death, the Shia Sunni faction that's going on in
mm-hmm.
Iraq right now?
Mm-hmm.
They said the people were receiving their messages by text messages.
Oh, is that right?
You are going to die by text message.
Oh, really?
I mean, they don't even have electricity over there yet. Do you think those people have text messaging?
Cell towers out in the caves? I don't think so.
Well, anyway, that's what they said. I thought that was kind of cute. You know, they're receiving these messages by text messaging. Oh, the story gets more unbelievable as time goes on. Anyway, this is going to be a great program. I'm going to let the guys have at it today. But I just want to remind you that the reason we showed you that concentration camp video in the first hour, the reason that we played the audio from that, and you can go to thepowerhour.com and click on that video and see it for yourself.
It's right at the top of the page, a blue banner right there. Wake up, smell the coffee.
That's right. It's because we need to understand how real the bad boys are with the bad boy plans. And I cannot say it any plainer than that. So please support the Power Hour. And again, if you have not taken advantage of the specials, they will be over at 4 p.m. today, except for Detoxim, and I believe goes on until next week. And we're going to announce another really cool special in a little bit later in this hour. So stay tuned to the Power Hour. We got this 3-minute break then. It's going to be Boys Gone Wild here on 9/11, right? We'll be right in 3 minutes. Right back. Stay tuned to the Power Hour.
people who use supplements are learning more about herbs and their effectiveness, and so are the people who do the research and make the supplements. Turmeric has been long known to be a balancing and detoxifying herb, and curcumin is the active part of turmeric. Curcumin 98 is 98% curcumin, and ongoing studies are showing that curcumin is helping people who suffer from acne, allergies, autoimmune disorders, burns, chickenpox, diabetes, liver damage, rashes, tumors, ulcers, eye problems, multiple sclerosis, and more. Testimonies are rolling in from folks who've tried curcumin, and the results are some of the best we've ever seen. There are 500 milligrams of curcumin in each of the 200 capsules, and each capsule also contains bioperin, which doubles the effectiveness of the curcumin, and each jar is only $34.95. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Curcumin 98 is getting rave reviews across the board, and you just may add your voice to those who are singing the praises of Curcumin 98. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your Curcumin 98 today.
You've been listening to Genesis Programming for a while now. You may even have supported GCN by purchasing the products or services offered by our sponsors. You may know of other businesses out there that would profit from getting their message across to thousands of listeners at once. The Genesis Communications Radio Network would like to offer you an opportunity to share the profit potential of advertising to the thousands of businesses out there who are needing to get their message across to their target buyers. GCN offers businesses an alternative or complementary avenue of choice to obtain a more direct source of national exposure, and we would like your help in doing just that. With solid numbers from Arbitron showing a very high listenership and an excellent market reach, both you and your clients will benefit when joining the Genesis Radio Network. Give us a call here at Genesis, and we will share with you everything you need to know to get you started with this exciting and profitable career. Call 877-996-4327, extension 332. Again, 877-996-4327, extension 332.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Von Kleist.
And Trish Riley.
And we all know knowledge is power, and of course, that's why we call this
the Power Hour!
Excuse me, sir, hurry. What is it? What's the problem here?
Oh, sir, they're at it again, sir. That couple on the radio.
Oh, no, not that couple that says that the opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the staff. What about it?
Well, sir, they've planned a special program, and they're going to be discussing, of course, the issues about 9/11.
Oh, that always causes a problem.
Yes, sir, but they're going to be discussing the MyHop and the LIHOP issue, and they're going to be dealing with experts, and basically exposing everything.
Well, get the people out there paid to listen to this broadcast to do what they can. Tell the people offshore to flip the switches, turn on the jamming devices. We've got to do something to discredit this entire operation.
Well, sir, it's too late.
Why?
Well, they've got these little satellite dishes now all over the country. People aren't listening on the shortwave, and they're moving towards the satellite dishes, and they're listening online, and they're listening on AM and FM stations.
Just calm down. We've got to think.
Yes, I know, but I don't like the smell of burning rubber.
Get out of here!
Okay, now I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to turn it over to you, but I make no guarantees to the listeners. I make no guarantees. I'm going to trust these guys are going to handle this program.
That's
but I have
your
a
first
feeling,
mistake.
I have a feeling the fur is going to fly today, so I'm just honored and so thrilled that we have Colonel George Nelson here to join us today. And so, Dave, you got it.
All right. All right. Well, as Joyce just mentioned, we do have a guest in studio here. Colonel George Nelson is going to be joining us in just a couple of seconds. But before we do, I want to lay down some basic information. Now, you've heard over the past couple of minutes here, we'll be talking about the MIHOP versus the LIHOP, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the difference between these two philosophies, there are a lot of folks in the 9/11 movement. They want to get the information out, and they want to, you know, expose the real truth about what happened on September 11th. Now, some are approaching this from the idea that, yes, terrorists did do it, and the government had previous knowledge, and they didn't do anything about it. Now, the other group of people saying, hey, wait a second, there's a whole lot more to this operation, and that the terrorist issue was basically a patsy, a red herring, a rabbit trail to go down. Now, common sense will tell me, now, if we're going to be talking about if, now, let's capitalize red letter, underline the word if. If this was an operation that was done by government officials or agencies or rogue elements or whatever, but if this was a situation where it was done on purpose and it didn't have, terrorists weren't planning it, then let's just think outside of the cage for just a couple seconds. There would obviously have to be three areas of effort. First of all, the first effort would be to actually plan the events, a very elaborate, diabolical plot indeed it would have to be. Wouldn't have to involve, you know, thousands of people, just people in key positions. So that would be a huge thing. It would take quite some time to do this, but it could be done, especially if this is an unlimited budget black operation. The second area of effort would also be as elaborate, and it would take a long time to do, and that would be to lay down the rabbit trail. They've got to have lots of juicy tidbits of information that the researchers can find to be able to say, okay, here's a controversial issue, and we're going to bring this to the surface. They have to have a rabbit trail, a patsy, and they have to have enough information to implicate the patsy. Now, the next area of effort goes into operation after the attacks themselves, and that area would be the controlled opposition. They know that there are going to be groups out there that are going to want to investigate the 9/11 catastrophe and get to the real truth of what's going on. Well, they have to have a group of individuals that want to give that impression. And they're going to be highly focused upon. And they're going to get a lot of play. And they'll be able to go rub elbows with the biggie bigs. And the whole purpose of that particular group would be to keep people focused on area number two, which would be the rabbit trail. The terrorists did it. Osama, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm just thinking outside the cage. This is all conspiracy theory that I'm discussing right now. But we're going to be talking about the difference between the LIHOP and the MIHOP here. And if this was a made-it-happen scenario, MIHOP, we're going to be talking about what information that we have, what evidence that we have that indicates this. Because there are groups of people that are going to do everything that they can. The folks that are the controlled opposition are going to do everything that they can to discredit or to somehow ridicule or shun or blacklist or blackball or whatever anybody that is thinking outside of that particular cage of the terrorists did it. Now, it's been going on for quite some time, and, you know, I'm sure the regular listeners know that, you know, hey, I've taken some hits because of this 9/11 in plain sight thing, and that's okay. I'm you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And guess what, folks? I'm cooking here, and we have good reason to be, because the more we look at this situation, the more we realize that we have good reason to think that this is not a LIHOP, but a MIHOP. Joining me in the studio today is a very, very respectable person I've had the opportunity to meet with several times. Got to know him over the past, couple of years, ever since 9/11 in plain sight came out. I'm very honored to have him in studio. Ladies and gentlemen, a man I have the deepest respect for, 30 years or 33 years, thereabouts, serving in the United States Air Force, Colonel George Nelson. You know, there are so few people in the military today that remember and understand the oath that they took to support and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, guess what? They're rediscovering their oath. And this man here is a trailblazer. Colonel Nelson, thank you so much for joining us here at the Power Hour. Welcome, sir.
Dave, it is a delight to be with you once again, especially live in your 25th floor studio high atop
the chrome and steel building with the security guards.
With the golden GCN microphone.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you. It is our pleasure to have you here. Now, we've discussed some of your opinions on this program numerous times, and right off the bat, I would like to have you give your background. What is it about your area of expertise that has had many people call upon you to hear your opinion?
Well, I spent a 30-year career in the Air Force as an aircraft maintenance officer. Aircraft maintenance officers, actually, we manage all of the maintenance on all of the aircraft, and I was assigned to a C-130 unit. I was next assigned to an F-4 Phantom unit. Then I finished my career the last 8 or 9 years with the F-16s at Homestead Air Force Base. And during that period of time, well, they task us to do other additional duties. One of them was even customs duty when I was with C-130s down in Homestead. We had a number of different activities we did. And the other one was to become a trained investigators in case of aircraft crashes anywhere. We could be subject to be called to investigate these aircraft crashes. And I went to the University of Southern California Accident Investigation School out in California. And that's about it. I spent my entire career stomping the flight line with airplanes all around me.
Okay, so basically your area was to, it was part identification, tracing parts, keeping track of you, and basically you were the taskmaster at these units that were basically investigating.
Right. We had, the crew chiefs, they kicked the tires and wiped the windshields and filled it up with gas, such as that, just general maintenance. And then we had specialists, the people who removed black boxes and replaced those. And then in addition to that, we had a number of support activities, and one of those would be plans and scheduling. They scheduled all of the scheduled maintenance. Then there was out-of-scheduled maintenance, things that just break, and we dispatched specialists to those. But in addition to that, we have a record section, as do all aircraft operations like airlines. They will have a record section where they will keep track of all of the parts that are installed on these aircraft by serial number.
Okay. Now, that covers your background here. What drew my attention to the fact that you were doing what you were doing was, of course, an article that showed up at physics911.net. And joining us in a few minutes will be A.K. Dudney, who began that website. And it's a consortium of professors and educators, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll get to that in a couple minutes. Now, you had written this article entitled "The Impossible to Prove a Falsehood True: Aircraft Parts as a Clue to Their Identity." Now, this was, of course, in regard to the issue with the Pentagon, which is where I began to have my doubts of the official story of 9/11. Let me ask you two things. First of all, where did you begin, in the past 5 years, where did you begin to seriously doubt the official story? Why did you doubt it, and how does that relate to this article?
Well, I knew on the day that the 9/11 happened, September the 11th, 2001, I was drinking coffee, sitting at my breakfast table, and watched the first tower in smoke. A Today Show broke away to it. And then I noticed also that it was absolutely clear day. As they say, on a clear day, you can see for forever. And I told my wife, I said, there is no way that this happened by accident. And then within 24 hours, of course, within a few minutes, the other tower was hit. And then 45 minutes later, it collapsed at free fall speed straight down into its own footprint. And I knew that something was terribly wrong. The next day, the FBI actually had not only names but photos of all of the perpetrators, according to the government story, that caused this stuff. And so I knew right away that there was something rotten in Denmark, as they say.
Okay, but what was the one thing that really got you motivated? I tell you, we're going to think about this because we do have a break coming up, and we're going to talk a little about this for a couple more minutes, and then joining us will be A.K. Dudney. This is going to be interesting. Oh, in the third hour, and just about an hour from now, adding to the conversation, it's going to be like a roundtable discussion. We have an airline pilot who, at this point, we're going to call him the mystery guest. He will be joining us as well. We're going to touch on many different bases in this edition of the Power Hour. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Stay tuned. This is Dave.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
One of America's greatest patriots, Patrick Henry, said, "Give me liberty or give me death." It was Patrick Henry who forced the Bill of Rights to be added to the Constitution, your unalienable or unchangeable right to religious freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, or the right to own a gun. There are certain movements underway to strip you of these unalienable, unchangeable rights today. To help you grasp the loss of these freedoms, we'll send you absolutely free a one-year subscription to Newswatch magazine. Just call 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. It's absolutely free. Operators are standing by to assist you. Just call right now.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Cause you get news from your TV, and they cover up for me. They don't ask why towers fell, cause we pay them really well to blow smoke in your eyes.
We're going to see if we can't clear the air a little bit. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Look at GW. Well, welcome back to the Friday morning edition
like
of the Power
song.
Hour.
I like that song.
This is Dave.
And Joyce. I want to tell you real quickly a couple of specials, and I'm going to continue to tell you this all morning long because they are only good for today. So those of you good students who tuned in today, Dave's cassette, Will Someone Listen? Will Someone Listen? The cassette is only $2 today.
The cassette, not the CD, the cassette. Yeah.
If you purchase $25 or more from the Power Hour, you get his cassette for only $2. And the in fact, you know what?
What?
Throw it in free. Give it to them free, Rosie.
Okay.
Tell them they can have it free. They get the cassette free when they order $25 or more from the Power Hour. And the 9/11 special, 9/11 in plain sight, 9/11 eyewitness, loose change, one set of the cards at $5. You normally at $5, one set of the 25 cards, the 9/11 cards, and a T-shirt you're going to get free when you order from the Power Hour today. So there's a 9/11 special. There is also, now this is a biggie. Those of you who live and use absolutely every single day Miracle 2 soap, you're going to want to get this one. This is the 3x soap. In other words, you're going to have 3 gallons in 1 gallon. Now, if you buy it today, you're going to save $87 on what you would have paid if you ordered 3 gallons separately from the Power Hour. This is the 3-in-1 concentrated soap. You're going to save $87. Those of you who use the plain soap, call the Power Hour right now and until 4 p.m. today to save $87. Normally, the price for 3 gallons of this, and it's so incredibly concentrated, would be $224. It is now going to be $137. So call the Power Hour, and that includes shipping. So call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, or go to thepowermall.com.
Okay, our guest in studio today is Colonel George Nelson, and just as we went into the break, Colonel, I was asking you, what was the one thing that really lit your fuse? Now, we got a lot of books and videos and radio broadcasts, a lot of folks, I mean, most of us were uneasy as you were watching these towers collapse and seeing what happened. You said there was something that was rotten in Denmark, as they say. But in the time that followed, of course, all this other information started to come out. What was the one piece of information, magazine article, book, video, whatever, what was it that set you on fire?
Well, there were a number of things that are leading up to it, you know, like like they appeared to be squirreling away all of the evidence from the buildings, carrying things out under tarpaulins and things like this that really, really keyed me. But it was when the videos started to come out, and believe it or not, it was your video in plain sight that came out that where you actually described opening up what a conspiracy theory is and so forth. It really made sense, and so I guess it was in plain sight video, the first one that I saw.
I don't know if I want to shoulder that responsibility.
and so right after that, I got to thinking there's something missing here, and I wrote a letter to Professor Dewdney. I didn't know really who I was writing to, but I went to all the websites that started to break out casting doubt on the government's official story. Mm-hmm. And so I sent them a brief letter. I said, there's something that you're missing, is that there is so much evidence at these crash sites, at every one of them, the one in Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, especially, where one airplane at ground level would have left thousands of parts that are controlled by serial number. And so I wrote the professor because Physics 911 seemed like one of the most respectable sites that I had visited.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a call then and asked me if I would write an article that they could post on their website.
Very good. And that's the article that I'm looking at here, aircraft parts as a clue to their identity. Now, why is this so important when it comes to, let's say, the Pentagon or what happened in September in New York? Why is this part identification so important?
Well, the first thing you want to do in any aircraft crash is to make absolutely sure that you want to know the tail number of the specific aircraft that's gone down. In the case of airliners, you know, they fly hundreds of different aircraft. You want to know exactly what went into that hole. And so there are parts that are indestructible. You're not going to destroy these parts on an ordinary crash. You would just about have to have oxygen and acetylene to make any kind of damage to these parts. And we're talking about landing gear. We're not talking about Easter eggs. We're talking about great big great big parts that have serial numbers on them, and they are tracked in the plans and scheduling section that I was telling you about, the record section. And every time that these parts are changed out, this one has to be recorded. This serial number was removed. This serial number was put on. These parts are time change items. They don't wait for these things to fail, because if they failed in flight or failed on landing, in the case of a landing gear collapse, then there could be catastrophic results and a loss of passengers in the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep up with these by serial number. And in the case of every one of these crash sites, the hole in the ground in Pennsylvania where they said an airplane went into, there are thousands of parts available, and they can identify the aircraft.
All right. I'm not quite sure what happened to the commercial break here, but I believe... Are we off the air? Oh, we are on the air. Okay, for whatever reason, the bumper music didn't fire, but we do have, I'm sure there are other stations along the line that are at a commercial break right now. And a little technical difficulty. These little glitches do happen. So, I tell you what, let me see. Let's get Scott. Scott, come on for just a second. What's the status right now? Are we off the air on some of the other stations across the country?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. Folks listening on the shortwave are going to be able to hear what's going on during a commercial break. That's all. So, I'll tell you what, rather than have anybody that is listening on a commercial station miss what you have to say. All right. Well, Scott's talking in my ear here. We are going to go to a break in 10 seconds. So we'll be back in just, I guess it's going to be a two-minute break instead of a three-minute break. Stay with us. This is the Friday edition of the Power Hour.
Hi, I'm Bobby Light with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car's acting up until you take it to your mechanic. Then it performs perfectly until you leave the shop. Wish for a way to end this madness? When I come back, I'll tell you how.
When it comes to cleaning your vehicle's injectors and combustion chambers, you have two choices. You can treat the problem with off-the-shelf retail products in pretty bottles with little or no result. Or you can use what professionals use with just one tank of fuel. It's called BG44K. You can find it at a shop near you at bgfindashop.com. So, if you want professional results, use a professional product. Remember, it's called BG44K, and you can find it at bgfindashop.com.
There is a way to end the madness when your car won't act up for your mechanic the way it does when you drive it. Here's your repair shop prescription. Keep a diary. Record when and where your car displays its bad behavior. Note the weather. Is it hot? Cold? Raining? How much gas was in the tank? And was the engine warm or cold? Keep this diary for a week. Then share the information with your automotive physician, your mechanic. You'll be surprised at the facts you gather and the heartburn you avoid. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
There you go, GW and the Carlisle Group. Get down, George. Okay, just one verse.
I got a thing or two I wanna say. If you oppose me, we'll put you away. And when you sheep will open up your eyes, we'll ridicule you and we'll demonize. I'm gonna stick right to the master plan to blame Osama and the Taliban. My daddy told me it would never fail. We'll keep you going down the rabbit trail. Oh.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Friday edition of the Power Hour. This is Dave.
And Joyce.
And GW.
Yeah.
on loan from the White House.
Okay.
You know what I think the powers that be that listen to this program, you know, the bad guys who really aren't bad guys are paid to be bad guys. I think they love listening to this music and they can't keep a straight face either.
Oh, come on. Have some fun, guys.
That's right. Let me remind you again. I got to tell you about these specials because that's how we keep this program on the air and bring you incredible people like Colonel George Nelson and Key Dudney in this next segment. The 9/11 special. You get a 9/11 in plain sight, 9/11 eyewitness, loose change. Those are the standards of the 9/11 movement. A set of 25 cards, 9/11 cards, and a free 9/11 t-shirt. You can get that by calling the Power Hour, and you can also get a special. If you buy four, you get one shirt free.
And by the way, the T-shirt is, unlike any other 9/11 T-shirt, it has a composite photo, four different angles of the plane as it hit the South Tower, and the question across the top says, what is this flash? And underneath it says, why is it not discussed?
That's
well,
right.
Guess what? We're going to discuss it right here.
That's right. And you buy four T-shirts, you get one free. Also, if you purchase $25 or more today, you get Dave's cassette, Will Someone Listen? Free. The cassette? Free. Sorry about that, Rosie. It's free. I told you $2. No, it's free because I like these Power Hour listeners. I'm going to let you go now. And remember the Stevie and T special off at 4 p.m. today. Thank you very much for supporting the Power Hour, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. And do not forget the three-time soap special today. You will save $87 by purchasing the 3-in-1 soap or the 3-times concentrated soap today at the Power Hour.
And please don't wait till 4 o'clock to call. We close the office at 4 o'clock Central Time, so don't wait till 3:55 to call. Okay, anyway, we have in studio, I'm very honored to have Colonel George Nelson here in studio, and joining us by telephone is Key Dudney. His website, physics911.net, is just full of really good, well-thought-out, provable information, because Key Dudney and all the other scholars that are involved with this are professors, both retired and still teaching. Key Dudney, welcome aboard. Come on over.
Okay, it's been a long trip, but I think I've just arrived.
Okay, well, I'm glad to have you aboard here. We've got George Nelson in the studio, and I'm going to have you join the conversation in just a second, but George was just explaining this issue about identifying aircraft and aircraft parts, and what it was that basically hit him between the eyeballs, you know, like the proverbial 2x4 to get the donkey's attention. Not that I'm saying anything bad here, George. Mm-hmm. But you know, we all had that epiphany, something that really struck us. I know what it was for me, and I'll ask you the same question. But, George, I'm going to ask you to finish up your thought, because when you looked at the what happened at the Pentagon and when you looked at what happened at the North and South Towers, there was something that really shook you, and I'd like you to explain what it was and how you felt when you saw some of the footage, not just in the 9/11 in plain sight, but the other videos as well. But yeah, we're focusing on the stuff on 9/11 in plain sight, because all the other videos don't cover some of the information. I think you know what I mean.
Well, the National Transportation Safety Board had tasked the FBI to investigate the crashes at all of these sites, the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, and the hole in the ground in Pennsylvania. And so the first thing that any investigator, crash investigator, is going to do is start collecting evidence. And I saw them collecting evidence at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything at the World Trade Center, except that I was told that they were busy scurrying the metal away from the World Trade Center on aboard ships going to some foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
But at the Pentagon, I saw people out there collecting and putting in bags essential pieces of evidence, parts, whatever it was. It was on the lawn. They went about scurrying it away. And then they carried something very large under a tarpaulin, and it took about 12 men to carry that away.
Yeah, we've seen that picture. It's all over the Internet. Folks remember seeing that photo, and we question that. Why would they cover that so nobody could see it? I mean, if this was the carcass of a 757, I would think that they would want the world to see what these terrible terrorists had done, but that's not the case. They covered it up and wouldn't allow you to see it. What does that indicate to you?
Well, it gave the appearance of tampering with a crime site, and the NTSB, by assigning it to the FBI, meant that the NTSB knew somehow that this was probably a crime, and that's why the FBI was involved.
All right, well, let me jump over here to Key Dudney, and again, thank you for joining us on the program. This is going to be a roundtable discussion here. Key, I'm going to ask you the same question in regards to this investigation that you know we saw that was going on the Pentagon lawn. I guess we can start there, but I would like to know is what was it? What was the one event or book or video or television program, whatever? What was it that struck you and motivated you to really challenge the official story and told you that there was something definitely wrong with the official story?
Well, my little epiphany didn't really kick in for a few weeks, but it actually started on the morning in question when I turned on the TV to catch a segment, I believe it was on CNN, where the anchor woman was interviewing, I think it was Jean Le Carré or Ben Casey or one of those spy authors, And the gentleman being interviewed pointed out rather calmly that it was strange that these men had just been, the perpetrators had just been identified potentially as Muslim Arab hijackers or fanatics or something, when that had obviously gone on a suicide mission. And the author in question remarked, well, that's strange because Muslims are not allowed to commit suicide. It's a mortal sin. So the anchor woman got this deer in the headlights look, and they immediately broke for a commercial. And that was the last time I ever heard that brought up on any network. But that kind of stayed in my mind for a while, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's how could these guys ever expect to get to paradise if they had just violated one of the main edicts of the Islamic holy book, the Quran? And then I began to look around a little bit and decided that the attacks had been faked. This is before anyone was really sure that the towers had collapsed. And I had not been looking at the evidence as much as I should have been and forged right into devising a method of faking the attacks, and that was an all-electronic hijacking.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of had some currency on the web for a while, but when I started really seriously looking at the evidence, and I realized that a 757 could not have hit the Pentagon and left the little damage that we saw there, at least not consistent with such an impact, that I realized I had to junk my scenario. So I was not the first person, and I certainly wasn't the last, to kind of jump the gun and come to a conclusion that was perhaps a little bit unwarranted under the circumstances. So I went back and started looking at everything and hooked up with a webmaster in Australia by the name of Sid Walker, and we launched the panel with just a few members, and have been slowly growing it ever since. That's about it in a nutshell.
Okay, and of course, you have been a professor for how many years? Your background is in educating, and in what field?
Well, I was professor of computer science for 26 years at my home university here in London, Ontario, Canada, University of Western Ontario. Also a full professor at the University of Waterloo, computer science, for about 4 years, 5 years. After I had retired, taken early retirement. And my original training is in mathematics with a physics minor, and I've been a scientist of both kinds virtually all my life. That is to say, a deductive scientist, like mathematics and computer science, and an inductive science, for example, setting up biological models, mathematical and computer models of biological processes. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of work I've been doing most of my life, and that's my background. That was my background coming into 9/11. But as I found that I had to do a lot more background reading, things like aircraft avionics to physics of temperature and heat transfer, I sort of felt as if I were being taken off the shelf, dusted off, and put back into action on a very serious investigative matter.
Well, absolutely. And I don't think that there is anything more serious in our lifetimes right now than the events of September 11th and the long-term effects I think we're all feeling and will feel for generations to come unless we get to the truth of what happened. Now, the wake-up call for many people was the issue with the Pentagon. And in March of 2002... just about 6-7 months after the events themselves, I published an article called From Deception to Revelation, and it had to do with the Pentagon. Now, immediately, anybody that thinks outside of the prepared cage, of course, we discussed this on the very beginning of the program, there is an effort out there to keep people on the rabbit trail, keep people on the scenario that this was exclusively terrorists that planned and pulled this whole thing off. But the more you look at it, the more you realize that could not have happened. There was either government complicity or direct involvement in this whole thing. And my conclusion, as many others now after examining the Pentagon issue, was that this was not just a situation where they allowed this thing to happen, the LIHOP scenario. This appears to me and many others that this is a MIHOP or a made it happen. Let me jump over here to George. What is it, what compelling piece of evidence, either having to do with the Pentagon or the World Trade Center, what was a compelling piece of evidence that pushed you, Pat, from the MIHOP to the LIHOP scenario? I mean, I'm sorry, from the LIHOP to the MIHOP scenario.
Well, there are so many it's hard to nail one down, but I suppose it would be the fact that I have never heard of a hijacking anywhere in the world that the hijackers got on board by running in with machine guns blazing. They all bought tickets to get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was discovered by a little bit of investigative looking into that, none of these hijackers had tickets. None of them had boarding passes. There was no computer that even listed them in the American or United Airlines mm-hmm. computers. And so how did they get on board? And the first thing that the stewardess is going to do, or the flight attendants, are count noses. They're going to count heads to make sure that there are equal number of boarding passes and an equal number of passengers. And if they don't come out right, then that airplane doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't mm-hmm. leave the gates.
Okay. Let me ask you the same question, Keith Dudney.
Yeah. Well, the early flight manifest directly from the United Airlines and American Airlines files showed no Arab hijackers on those flights, and moreover, all the names on those lists were accounted for. That is to say, when it said John Doe, accountant, Canton, Ohio, then that's who it was. So it was not Benny Malal of the 37th Hijacker Brigade. Those flight lists were convinced a lot of people that there was something very amiss about the official story from the White House about what happened at both
okay.
World Trade Center and the Pentagon that day.
All right, let me jump in there, and now let's move into some of the photographic evidence. Of course, because in the 9/11 in plain sight video, it pretty much focused exclusively on video and photographic evidence. In regard to the Pentagon, now, George, you've already said one of the things that you had a problem with is the simple fact that the crime scene, and that's exactly what this is. There's no disputing that. This was a crime of gargantuan proportions. The crime scene was immediately contaminated and destroyed when they went out there and started picking up all these little pieces of debris. And then, of course, there's the subsequent cover-up or lack of information about this. So let me ask you, as far as the most compelling piece of evidence or lack of at the Pentagon, Colonel Nelson, what is the one thing that sticks out in your mind?
Obviously, the 16-foot hole that supposedly a Boeing 757 with a 125-foot wingspan went through a 16-foot hole, and it just doesn't fit. And since I said that, General Stubblebine, who is the former intelligence chief of the U.S. Army, and he's retired, has also come out and said the same thing. He said, in matter-of-fact fashion, a 757 does not fit in that 16-foot hole.
That's right, and that interview is on the latest release that we've got out there called One Nation Under Siege. Let me jump over to Keith Dudney. Mr. Dudney, what was the one compelling piece of either physical, photographic evidence about the Pentagon that stood out in your mind?
Sometimes you have to look not at what is there, but what isn't there. And what struck me, given the correctness of George's remark about the 16-foot hole, is that there were no wings or portions of wings anywhere outside of the so-called entrance hole. The fact is that the wings themselves contain very, very rigid support or structural members called spars, which when they meet a hole, act as a brittle metal, and they simply snap. And once the spars of a wing has snapped, there's little to connect the wing to the aircraft anymore. The aluminum skin will rip off. All the connectors, the hydraulic lines, the electrical lines will simply, just snap, and the wing will be left outside the hole. This idea floated by the Pentagon within days of the event that the wings had, quote, folded up and followed the aircraft in. I think George is probably the best person to comment on that. On the sheer physical impossibility of that. Isn't that right, George?
It's simply laughable. It's preposterous.
Yeah, there are folks that said that when the plane hit, it basically sucked the wings in behind it. Go ahead, George.
Folded and snaked its way right on through, right down by the side of the fuselage. But the fuselage wouldn't even go through the 16-foot hole.
No, What would go through a 16-foot hole? Because, you know, that's the argument that's been made. Everybody says, see, that's where the fuselage went in. I mean, Popular Mechanics Magazine, Popular Science, they all said that the plane hit and the fuselage hit right there, and that's what caused the hole. But the fuselage is basically a very flimsy aluminum tube. There's these two big big things on the wings that propel the aircraft. I forget, what do you call those things?
It's called a missile.
I'm talking hanging down from the wings, on both wings.
You mean the landing gear?
No, I'm talking about the engines. He's messing with me, folks. He's smiling. He's looking at me. No, I'm talking about the engines.
Yes. Two very large engines, and they're indestructible. You're not going to be able to destroy those engines, and they would have blasted bricks and so forth. The engines could have gone in there, but it wouldn't have been a nice circular 16-foot hole.
So if this is a real case scenario, if anything would have made caused damage, it wouldn't be a flimsy singular tube fuselage. There would have been not one hole, but there would have been two holes where the entry of the engines would have occurred.
Absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Dudney, as we go to this break here, within 15 seconds, it's all we've got. What's your impression about what George just said?
The fact is that the wings should have sheared off. The other scenario was that the entire aircraft vaporized, and that, too, is impossible, given the burning temperature of the jet fuel, which is basically kerosene.
Okay, I tell you what, hold on that thought, because I knew that was going to come up. There has been a statement that the plane vaporized that was published in the New American Magazine, and it was quoted by General Ben Parton. I have a follow-up on that story, because I spoke to Ben. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Joy Schmiley, and most of you already know how Miracle 2 products can be used in the garden to control pests, help your flowers and vegetables absorb nutrients, and promote growth. Most of you already know how it cleans around the house without harsh chemicals or toxins, cutting through grease and leaving your hands soft and healthy. Most of you already know how the moisturizing soap and neutralizer leaves your hair and skin feeling fresh and clean. And for those of you who've never tried Miracle 2, you owe it to yourself to find out why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap is a miracle. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and try Miracle 2 products today. The 76 startup package includes all five of the Miracle 2 products, an $80 value, only $76, and that includes the shipping. Call 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, and order your Miracle 2 products today. Then you'll know why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Revelation speaks of a great false church which has deceived the whole world. This great false church, the Whore of Babylon, is drunk on the blood of the saints. Have you always felt something just wasn't right with the churches? All the pagan propaganda, Easter eggs, idols, Christmas trees, memorials for the dead at Halloween? What about communion? Why would the Messiah institute a symbolic blood-drinking ceremony which breaks the Torah law as well as civilized social custom? Pastors and priests have no answers. Two Witnesses Ministries has solved the communion conspiracy. Order now in this 175-page blockbuster entitled Communion, the Bloodfest of Babylon. Request a fax by writing P.O. Box 2453, Abilene, Texas 79604. Or call now 325-572-3913. Yes, Gnostics Agents of Mystery Babylon forge into a new covenant the blood-drinking abomination that is communion. Beware, damnation is pronounced upon this blood-drinking whore. Call now 325-572-3913.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems? Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, they'll keep believing all our lies with our propaganda in their eyes. And we know they'll never get it right until they've seen 9/11 in plain sight. Here's the moral.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Friday morning edition of the Power Hour. We're going to get rid of that bumper music right away. A quick reminder for those of you listening on the International Shortwave, if you're dialed in live on WWCR 7.465, in just about 4 minutes, you're going to want to turn your receiver to 9.985 for the third hour of the broadcast. I suggest you do just that. And also, for those of you listening to the evening rebroadcast, on WWRB's evening frequency, which is 6.890. You folks also will have to make the adjustment. Turn your receiver to 5.050 for the remainder of this broadcast. Today we're talking about the LIHOP versus the MIHOP, the Let It Happen versus the Made It Happen philosophies in regard to the events of September 11th. In studio, we have the honor and privilege of discussing this issue with Colonel George Nelson from the United States Air Force. On the line with us, Key Dudney, a retired professor, and basically heading up a very important website, physics911.net. He and many other professors and educators and all professionals from all walks of life putting together very cognizant, provable information. Now, just as we were going to the break, Mr. Dudney, you brought up this issue about some folks saying that the plane had vaporized. We're talking about the plane that hit the Pentagon. I had the opportunity about 3 weeks ago to discuss this issue very briefly with General Ben Parton, who was quoted in the New American Magazine, the article that was written by William Jasper. Mr. Parton told me that he was grossly misquoted, and Mr. Jasper threw information in there that he did not say. So this is a little bit more controversy to add to the New American John Birch Society. What's your comment on that, Mr. Dudney?
Well, just the idea that the aircraft could be vaporized completely by a fuel fire was, struck everyone as ridiculous, especially knowledgeable people like Colonel Nelson in the studio there with you. And I don't think there's any argument about that. We just that's just a non-starter as an explanation. Earlier, you had asked the question, well, what did hit the Pentagon if it wasn't a 757, and I think it's fair to say that the thinking on that question varies from a Tomahawk cruise missile, with which the damage is entirely consistent. If you look at the image of the damage to the home of Saddam Hussein, which was hit by such a missile, it looks almost like a carbon copy of the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the aircraft parts that were found there, particularly what looks like the impeller section of J2D, I hope that's the right, J24D jet engine, has been traced to a number of aircraft, the best candidate of which is the A-7 Sky Warrior, which is a carrier-based small fighter bomber. Which has a tail which is just the right size and profile to match the tail that appears in one of the frames of the Pentagon video, the famous Pentagon video taken on the morning in question, and showing the incoming aircraft, or at least the tail section of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the tail is way too small to be that of a 757, but it does match the A-7 Sky Warrior. So if you force me to guess, I would probably guess it was a Sky Warrior loaded with the appropriate explosives and penetrants.
Okay, so the bottom line here, though, is that the official story was that it was Flight 77, a Boeing 757. Now, frankly, I don't care if it was Pee Wee Herman with a backpack rocket strapped onto his back. The bottom line here is that if it wasn't a 757, that means that they lied to us. It could have been a Global Hawk, a Patriot missile, a Tomahawk, maybe an A-3. That doesn't make any difference. The bottom line is that they're covering this whole thing up, and they shouldn't have a reason to do that. We're coming up on the top of the hour break, 1 minute and 10 seconds. It's a short break, and when we come back, we're going to move into the very controversial issue of the Flash and the Pod. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute and 10 seconds.